You're listening to Your Music, Your Business, a podcast helping you to explore the business behind your music. Hello and welcome or welcome back to the Your Music, Your Business podcast. I'm so thrilled that you're here because today we have a mini episode all about release timelines. And also I thought I'd include from now on for our mini episodes, a bit of an up-to-date on what's going on in the business. So you can get a bit of a behind the scenes about what the day-to-day can look like or the week-to-week can look like in management. So with that said, actually, we have had a few changes in the business. I moved away from a client and which sort of left a space open in my roster, which was really fantastic. So somehow I ended up attracting two new potential clients for full-time management, which is rare. That doesn't usually happen. I'm very picky about who I go full-time with. So there are two clients that I'm doing 3-month trial periods with before we even look at contracts to see if we're actually a good team together, which is a lot of fun. It's a lot of getting to know each other. And they're both very different projects. So I look forward to seeing where that goes and if they join the roster, how you all love them and enjoy seeing content from them, because I'm sure that will definitely be the case. But other than that, we have a Snark release coming up, which is really exciting. We just did a music video for them over the weekend. I also have an artist that is trying to record, which is really good fun. So there's a lot of moving parts in regards to that. We also are doing a big push for the 8-week program. For the next month in the lead up to July, August, and then into Big Sound in September. And then the 5th birthday for my business is coming up, which is super exciting. And I'm going to do a show in August for it. So there's a lot of moving parts, but it's good fun. Now, let's get right into talking about release strategies and release timelines. I think I want to get on the same page about what a release timeline is. I think it's pretty obvious, but I never want to assume that anybody has the knowledge. For me, what a release timeline is the map out of how we're going to do releases, ideally for the next 3 years. This can include everything from releasing just music or like music projects, and this can also include releasing video content or shows or tours and things like that. So it can be quite diverse, and I usually adapt it based off what my artist is currently saying they want to know about or that they want in their timeline. In a basic timeline, we have preferably 3 years mapped out ahead for clients. And that includes having, ideally, well, the way I map it out is having year one, year two, year three in one A4 sheet, and then having each month set out. And then we'll place in all the releases according to that. Sometimes I also really love to do like a plan A release and a plan B release. So we had to do a lot of like plan A, plan B, plan C releases for the last few years because we're currently in 2022. So there was a lot of like pandemic changes and things like that that we had to adapt to. But I think now we see a lot of like plan A, plan B changes in regards to whether we get a particular tour, whether a particular release is very strong, that sort of thing. And I think it should also be really noted that these releases will always change. What we said at the start of the year is most likely going to shift and can shift for so many reasons. And that can be for, everything from somebody goes away on a holiday with their partner for a few months when we were expecting to record or when we were expecting to release, financial issues, because we got offered a tour because a particular release went really well. Like that's just the scratch level on a reason why something might be changed. But when we map out our timelines, we really make sure that we're considering what could be coming next. So we definitely make sure that we don't do releases in sort of January, December, December, January makes more sense. And for those of us in Australia, we make sure that we map it around Big Sound. So Big Sound, for those in Australia and also internationally, is a Brisbane-based music industry conference where predominantly all of the music industry will be attending, and that includes media, that includes the booking agents that we want to connect with, the managers, the other bands, there's showcasing. It's huge, and it basically is 1 week out of September, but releasing that 1 week can be such a huge headache, and because nobody's around to actually give it the time of day. So we really make sure that we try not to release, preferably a week before and a week after, and obviously during Big Sound. For everyone else internationally, and I suppose it applies here as well, there's some big festivals that are similar, like South by Southwest, that need to be mapped out and considered when you're looking at your timelines, as well as very big holidays, like don't release on the 4th of July. For Australia, it's a lot of things like don't release on Easter, preferably, just for basic knowledge of like people are busy, people are not doing things, or they're not online, or they are online, they're sharing all of their, you know, Easter fun activities. So we're not going to get people's interaction because they're too consumed in their own lives at the moment. We also make sure that we will map out when each release is, and then map out all the tasks that deadlines that needs to happen around that. So as a really great example, it will be something like for a June release, we will make sure that PR is notified about that release a month before, and that it goes up onto streaming, say like 6 weeks before, streaming distribution. It's the same thing basically when you're talking about that step in that release. So it's really important to make sure that those deadlines are placed into your timeline so that you're actually considering that as you are creating the content and creating the assets for each release. And that also includes mapping out shows that go around that. So usually I have a rule with my clients at the moment, based off current music industry trends, that we don't do shows the month of release, and that is because your social media should be so clogged up with content about your release, and you're pushing that to add a show promo into that and distract your audience with that can actually take away from your release. We also, depending on when you have your release and where that release sits within your career, if you have a headline show straight afterwards, we usually are saying at the moment that you release, so you do the show a month after the release. So that can mean the difference between you not playing supports for 1 month or for 2 months, to make sure that you're really utilizing that audience. So there's a lot of different moving parts in regards to your timeline that you need to be making sure you're considering and mapping out those deadlines as you go, and thinking about your audience. You know, are they going to be overwhelmed? Are they going to be able to understand all the things that are going on with the band at the time, or is it just going to get missed because there's too much going on? So we really like to make sure that that's put in place. At the moment, are recommending to people that they release singles preferably. Every artist is so different, and this is such a big conversation. And I think we definitely, if you want to talk about your release and what release timeline you should do, message me, email me, hit me up and say, "Hey, Jazz, I want to talk about my release timeline. Let's talk about how this relates to my career." Because at the moment, we are saying that releasing singles is ideal. Part of that is because of financially, they're chunked together, so they're not as full on financially as, say, an EP or an album. But then also, I like to consider audiences like goldfish nowadays. I think for those of you who aren't across that analogy, goldfish have the brain capacity of like bloody pea, and when they swim around their tank, they'll see you and they'll go, "Oh, that was nice. So, like, so loved seeing Jazz." And they'll do a spin around their tank, and as they come back again, they go, "Oh, that was so nice. It's good to see Jazz." It's like they totally forget that they'd even seen you or connected with you. And audiences are like that. They really struggle to remember what they've seen, or their attention span is so low nowadays that giving them singles is constantly pushing it back in their face that I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Remember, we're here. Remember this music? Now this music. What about this music? What about that music? And they really engage in that, and we're finding that the brand retention, the artist growth, the show growth, all that sort of thing is actually closely linked to consistent releasing. And that's not to say that you can't do an EP or an album. I personally feel like albums need to be very strategically placed within a release, within a artist's career. But EPs are a great piece of work and a body of work that you can release. And if you have the right budget for that EP, then it's actually a really great way to be like, "Hey, here's this single, here's that single. Now here's a bunch of like music that we can now like pull out each month and like be exploiting and be pushing it back to you and saying, 'Hey, we're going to play the EP at this show and that show and this support and that support.'" And it gets you out in front of those people. And that includes out in front of that like your audience, as well as out in front of the music industry that is going to book you for those shows, because it does really work both ways. We're like goldfish, particularly music industry people. We have so much content coming at us that if I really like the look of your branding for your release and I've seen it a few times pop through, I will then remember you when I go to book a show for one of my headlining artists and go, "Oh, what about these guys? I've seen some great stuff about them." And that's part of the reason why we're always saying like, release, 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 because if they remember you, then you'll get onto supports and vice versa. Otherwise, there are so many people that are releasing at any given time, particularly in Melbourne, Australia. And it's just a bombardment of people that we could potentially work with. But if we know that you know how to market yourself, we know that you've got a release currently, and we know that you're relevant, then we're more willing to actually work with you and hire you for the next gig. But with all of that said, that is very based off the current 2020 industry trends and how you should release. So I do say, like, please reach out. Even if you just want to talk to me for 20 minutes, I'm more than happy to just jump on a quick call and say, "Hey, like this is what you should probably do for your release timeline," and we'll sort of brainstorm some things together. But I love a good timeline, and I really think that everyone should have one. Those 3-year timelines can be so helpful because it gives you a bit of an idea about, okay, if we're doing this and we're releasing this, this is what needs to happen next, and this is what needs to happen by the end of the year. And what I really love is that it makes people stop and think of like, "Oh, well, if we don't actually get our shit together and get moving, then this release will be pushed back 2 months. And then if that pushes that back, then that has to push out the next 2 to 3 years. And we can't afford that." And then it really puts the pressure on. It goes, "Okay, well, what are we going to do? Are we really going to jeopardize, 3 years of planning just because we can't get our shit together, or because we want to work with this particular person who's not free? It's like, no, just problem solve and fix it. like I say, that is so easy, but it really does open up your eyes as to the big picture, and it keeps you focused on the bigger picture instead of the small little things that start to grate on you as you sort of build your career. But with that said, I want to be completely transparent. These timelines are great, but it is hard to stick with them. You've really got to like smash it out and give it a try. I think most of my clients will map out a timeline at the start of the year, and most of them really struggle to keep to the exact months. I think give yourself some buffer. And usually when I write the 3 year timeline, it's like giving the buffer of like, if we really do have to push back a few weeks, because of whatever it is, because of lack of motivation, which is ideally not happening, but we're all human, or whether it's because of just like sickness, or I have a band at the moment who one of like the drummer is getting a knee surgery. So like, that puts the band out for another 4 weeks, if not a few months. So, all of those things can be potentially built into your timeline, but don't feel like you've completely let down the band if you have to push back something just slightly. I think if you're pushing it back 3 to 4 months, particularly based off the fact that you can't afford the budget for it or whatever it's going to be, I think that's a big issue, and I think that's something that you should definitely be looking at, and be looking at how that pushback or that delay can really do your music a disservice. And that's talking about like the music that you're about to release, but then also the music that you've released previously. If you don't follow it, your previous release up with good content and with more music, you're putting all that hard work that you put into that release and throwing some of it in the bin, in my opinion anyway. It sounds very extreme, but that's definitely my opinion. I see that as being disrespectful to the music and giving it the space that it needs to grow, and your career the space that it needs to grow. So, obviously I'm sounding a little bit contradictory, but give yourself space to stuff up a little bit, just be accountable to the fact that you don't want to stuff up a lot. But with that said, I hope that this release timeline podcast might offer you a bit of an insight. I think definitely reach out if you want to talk about timelines. As I said, I really have found that a lot of artists struggle with their release timelines and find so much clarity once they actually do it. And that's actually why I put it into my 8-week program. So if you're really keen to work on your release timeline and feeling like your goals for the band are not clear, and that you feel like once you've released this timeline, you don't really know the best way to do it, by all means, reach out. Let's talk about my 8-week program, because we cover everything from goals, release timeline, branding, marketing, social media, you name it, anything for a release that will set you up for the right foundational success. We work on it together, as well as there being an online portal for you to learn new skills and have new knowledge about how to build up your career. Definitely reach out about that. My inbox is always open. I can always try and squeeze you in. Definitely be thinking about where you feel like your music needs to sit. And